Well, good morning. You can take your Bibles, keep them open to Mark, but you could go forward one chapter to Mark chapter 10. Next week, we'll get the privilege of hearing from Phil as he begins a series for whenever he preaches the word to us. He'll be working through the book of Joshua. But this morning, we'll be in Mark 10 as we work through what will be our shortest text in this whole series on the Gospel of Mark. It's a beautiful story, and it is only 4 verses long. So take a look with me at Mark chapter 10, verse 13, and try to picture this scene. Mark 10, verse 13. And they were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. All right, can you picture that? Now, there's quite a bit that Mark does not tell us about this. For example, we don't know if this happens in a house or if this happens outside. He doesn't even say who exactly is bringing these children. I mean, we'd probably assume their parents or grandparents or other family members. Mark just kind of says they brought these kids. Mark also doesn't say exactly why they want Jesus to touch the children. In other texts, even in Mark, it's clear that sometimes friends brought sick people to Jesus, hoping he would touch them and heal them, but that really doesn't seem to be the case in this story. Instead, it seems a lot more likely that what they're doing is what was pretty common at this time. In this region, Jesus hasn't been there for long, but they probably heard enough about him to know this is an important guy, this is a holy man, and so people would bring their little children to important people, to holy people, and they would want those holy people to touch them and bless them, and that's probably what's happening here in this text. But like I said, Mark doesn't give us a lot of details. Instead, he focuses not even so much on the children right now, but on what the disciples do to these people who are bringing the kids. What'd they do? The disciples rebuked them. Some translations say they scolded them. You might have heard the word rebuke throughout this series. And this is really strong. This is the same word that is usually used when Jesus rebukes demons, for example. And here are the disciples, Jesus' own disciples, seeing parents, grandparents bringing their little ones to Jesus, and they are rebuking them for what they're doing, acting kind of like security guards around Jesus and sending them away. Why? Why do you think? Why such a harsh response? We could probably assume a couple of things. One is that the disciples probably think there are a lot more important things for Jesus and for them to be doing than to be dealing with little kids. And closely related to that is something I've brought up throughout this series, because Mark talks about kids a lot in the Gospel of Mark. And one of the things I keep bringing up is that in this culture, kids were simply not important. They might be important to their own parents, of course, but in society, the children have no standing at all. No status, they're insignificant, they basically don't count. In fact, I mean, this is really hard stuff to read about or hear about, but I mean, if you didn't want your babies, you could literally throw them out in this society and expose them so that they would die. With all Jesus is doing, with him headed to Jerusalem, with all the people who want to see him, these children are simply not worth Jesus' time. That's probably some of what the disciples are thinking. But I wonder what Jesus thinks. How does Jesus feel about what his disciples are doing? And look at verse 14. Just look at the first part of it. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. When's the last time you used the word indignant? Have you ever used it in your entire life? I'm not sure. Most translations say that here, but I wonder if we really grasp that word, because it's not like a word we use much. And what does it mean? I mean, if I was going to put it more simply, if you thought, what does it mean that he was indignant? What might be another word you would use? Outraged. Jesus was downright angry when he saw his disciples rebuking these parents and grandparents and family and sending the little ones away. This is the only time that word is ever used of Jesus, but it's not the only time you see Jesus really upset like this. And it's a reminder to us that anger or indignation is not always a bad thing. It depends largely on why you're angry, on what it is that provokes you and stirs up your anger. For us, anger is so often sinful because of what really angers us is when we don't get what we want, when we want it. And so we get angry. But think about this. What provokes us, or what really makes us angry, actually reveals a lot about us, a lot about what we really love. And it's interesting to me that three gospel writers tell this story, but only Mark tells us how Jesus felt about this when he saw what his disciples were doing. Only Mark says he was so angry. He was indignant. Why? Why was Jesus so angry with his disciples about what they were doing? There are at least two reasons you can point to from the text, if you look at Mark and then specifically at this text. The first is that his disciples are forgetting or just downright ignoring what he just told them about how to treat little children. Do you remember the text that was just read for us for a scripture reading? I mean, that is only like 20 verses before this. The disciples, remember, are arguing with each other about who's the greatest. Jesus puts a little child in the middle of these 12 proud men, and then he picks up that child in his arms, and he says to them, "Whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me. And not just me, but the one who sent me." Less than a chapter before this, Jesus' disciples, in this story, instead of welcoming the little children, shun them and send them away. And when Jesus sees it, it makes him angry. The second reason that Jesus feels this way is maybe just the other side of the same coin here. Jesus hates what they're doing because he loves the ones that they're doing it to. Jesus loves the little ones that they're rejecting. I mean, think about it. The last story right before this, the one we looked at last week, the one about divorce. Jesus is particularly concerned in that text about the woman, the wife, who many Jewish men thought they could just shun and send away for any and every reason. Now, in this story, Jesus' anger is kindled at his disciples who just want to shun and send away the vulnerable kids. Do you see the fiery, passionate love of Jesus? What makes someone angry often reveals what that person really loves, and Jesus loves people with no status, no significance. He loves the little children. So that's what Jesus feels about it. And Mark will come back soon to what Jesus does with the children, but first, Jesus wants to teach the disciples from the children. So look again at verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Let the children come to me. Don't send them away. Don't stop them." Perhaps you can remember just a couple stories ago, the disciples tried to stop that guy no-name guy who was out there doing good in Jesus' name. He was even casting out demons in Jesus' name. And they come to Jesus. His disciples come and say, "Hey, Jesus, don't worry. We stopped him. We tried to stop him. We told him, don't do that." And Jesus was like, "Don't stop them. You stop trying to stop him from doing good in my name." Now his disciples are again trying to stop people from bringing their children to Jesus. And Jesus says, in effect, to his disciples, "You stop stopping them." But now Jesus is going to turn this like sad situation into a teaching opportunity for the disciples, just like he did on many of their other failures in the book. He's going to use the children as an illustration or an object lesson for his teaching. He says, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them." Why? "Because to such belongs the kingdom of God." Here are the disciples trying to push away insignificant kids from Jesus. Jesus has more important things to do, more important people to see. But Jesus says to his disciples, "Don't stop them. Don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to people like these kids." Now, what does that mean? The way it's worded makes it clear Jesus is not only referring to children, but is using the children as an illustration for a bigger group. The kingdom belongs to those like these kids. The disciples seem to think that the kingdom of God belongs to the important, the noble, the powerful, the great, people like them. So they stop the children and the no-name families who are bringing the kids. But Jesus says, don't stop them, because it's to these kind of people that the kingdom belongs. Think of what Jesus is saying about the kingdom. Jesus, throughout his whole ministry, is announcing the good news of the kingdom, that God is on the move in Jesus, rescuing people and reestablishing his reign on earth. And Jesus says that the kingdom that he is establishing belongs to whom? It belongs to ones like the little children who have nothing, who are nothing in the world's eyes, and who in fact are nothing even in the eyes of his own disciples. The glorious kingdom that Jesus is announcing and bringing belongs to them, nobodies, not to the strong and powerful, not to the proud. But Jesus isn't finished with the lesson. Look at what he says in verse 15. He says, "Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Now that takes what he says even further, right? It's not just that the disciples are wrong for turning the little ones away. Jesus now says that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter that kingdom. In other words, Jesus is telling us all that if we don't come to Jesus as a child would come, none of us is ever getting in. I mean, the disciples don't think the children really matter. Throughout this whole section of Mark, the disciples cannot get over themselves. They view themselves in story after story as the important people. They're the ones with the status, the power, the rights. And Jesus tells them, if you don't receive the kingdom of God, the message I'm preaching, the good news about me and what God is doing through me, if you don't receive me like a child, you will never even see that kingdom. You will not enter it. Now, what does that mean exactly? What do you think? In other words, what specifically is Jesus commending about the kids when he says we all must receive the kingdom like a child or we won't get in it? Now, as you can imagine, there have been a lot of answers given to that about like what Jesus is commending about the kids. what we're supposed to pick up from this vivid picture. And anytime you've got pictures like this, people are going to have different opinions, and that's fine. I think in context, at least two things are likely of what Jesus is highlighting about the children. One has to do with how children receive things, since that's the specific wording. He says, whoever does not receive the kingdom as a child would receive it, I think. How do children receive stuff? I mean, the thing is, children receive everything. Little children, they receive everything that they get, everything they have, from their food and drink to their clothing to the gifts they get. And small children almost never work for what they get, do they? They rarely try to earn what they get. They receive everything. In fact, they rarely, if ever, even think about what it takes for their parents or others to be able to provide what they're getting. They just show up to the table and there's stuff on the table. And they receive it. And I think that's a powerful picture of how one receives Jesus and all the benefits Jesus has won for us. We don't work for it. We can't earn it. We simply receive it and welcome Jesus and what he's done for us and what he's won for us. The second aspect, I think, that's being highlighted about the kids, and perhaps even more in this text, is that children are weak and have no status. Children in this time had no rights, no wealth, no power, no claims or demands on anyone. So Jesus puts them forward as an illustration of how everyone must receive the kingdom and enter eternal life. We must not trust in ourselves, our wealth, wisdom, or power. We must not think we have any rights or claims on Jesus. In fact, we must renounce our trust in ourselves. We must confess that we don't have any rights. We don't deserve anything. We have no claims to make on Jesus. We must come to Jesus as those with nothing to offer him, simply holding our hands out, looking to Jesus for everything we need, and trusting him to take hold of us. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter the kingdom. So we've seen how Jesus feels about the kids, what he teaches from the kids, and then look at what he does to the kids. Verse 16. And Jesus took them up in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Jesus picks these little ones up in his arms and embraces them. And he lays his hands on them and he blesses them. See, he welcomes them and he loves them. It's the same picture we saw just a chapter earlier in that text we read from Mark 9. Where do you see the children in both texts? They're in Jesus' arms. Again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell these stories. Only Mark tells us this, and he says it in both texts. What Mark wants you to picture in the story in Mark 9 and in the story in Mark 10, the picture he leaves you with in both stories, is Jesus surrounded by 12 proud and rebuked men with little ones in his arms. It's an amazing picture. It's a short but powerful text. Two main ideas related to the children. One is about how Jesus loves, defends, and welcomes little children. The other is about how Jesus calls all of us to become like children and to embrace by faith what God has done for us in Jesus. Or to put it another way, there's two primary models in this text. One model is actually the children in the text. And the other is Jesus, who welcomes the little children. Now, I took this shorter text today because I wanted to be able to stop and think for a while today, especially about how we as a church think about and care for our little ones. So I mean, you look around today, look around week by week, walk by our nursery, and by God's grace, we see a lot of little ones here. And I love that. I mean, it is, just want to see more. But my question is, what do we see when we look at the little ones? How do we look at them? And how should this short story of Jesus with little children, the main story like this, how should it shape our church and how we look at the little ones? I, of course, cannot address everything that we could draw from these verses about children, but I'd like to share a few reflections from the text. And I want to talk first a little bit to the parents or those who hope to be parents, then with the kids who are here, and then with our whole church before we close our time. So if you're a parent here of little ones, particularly those who still are in your home, for those of you whose children are out of your home, you still have opportunities to influence and use them and pray for your kids. I know for some of you, you have older children who are not walking with Jesus, and I know it burdens your heart. Keep praying. Keep seeking their good. But I want to think and talk specifically to those who have children in the home right now or who hope to in the future. Okay, one, remember, children are a heritage from the Lord. They're a gracious gift from God. And so if you have children, you have a good thing, right? And if you long for children, you long for a good thing. Though the raising of children is challenging and humbling, it is a great work. In fact, you will likely have no greater opportunity to disciple anyone in your entire life than what you have with your own kids. Seize the days. Make the most of the time. And do all you can to bring your children to Jesus. You pray for them. Consider fasting for the souls of your kids. Teach them the mighty acts of God. Feed them the words of God. Pray with them. Sing with them. Center your family's life on the church. Show them what it's like to repent, to turn away from sin, to be honest about your sin, to trust Jesus, to obey even when it's hard. I mean, think about it. Whatever else you do in life, what's more important than raising your kids to follow Jesus? I can hardly think of anything I would ever want more than for my children to be ready when Jesus comes. Can you? For them to be able to stand before Jesus with great joy and be welcomed into his kingdom. And we confess today, we can't make it happen. We have to be honest about that. We cannot save ourselves or our kids. But what we can do is point our little ones to Jesus and show them each day how beautiful he is and pray for them, because Jesus can save them. And that's all we can really do. I mean, we bring our kids as much as we can to Jesus, and we pray for Jesus to save them, because we can't do that. I want to encourage you, though, if you're a parent, don't get distracted in your life away from the greatest opportunity to make a disciple that you'll ever have. Also, I want to talk with the kids. I love you kids being here today. We are so happy. I can't see all of you. If you want to try to look at me, I'd love to just talk with you for a little bit. I hope you've been able to follow the Bible story today, see Jesus, that he loves you. But I want to talk with the kids a bit. Kids, Jesus doesn't love you because you're perfect. You are not. I'm not. Not one of us today is perfect. We're all sinners here today. We all have that in common. But kids, Jesus loves you anyway. And he has a special love for you if you're a little one. I mean, I was thinking about this, because if Jesus were here with us today in person and you tried to come up to Jesus, do you know what Jesus would never do to you? He would never turn you away. He'd pick you up and he'd hold you. He would welcome you. But I also want to challenge you, kids. As good as it is to be in a family that loves Jesus, and I know for most of you, maybe all of you here today, you're here because your family loves Jesus. And you're in a church where people love Jesus. This is awesome. I don't really think you have an idea of how good it is. But kids, Jesus calls you to do the same thing he calls me to do. He's calling us all to turn away from following our own hearts and to trust in Jesus with all our hearts. We've all sinned and gone our own way, the oldest and the youngest among us. But Jesus loved you so much, he came here to die for your sins. And Jesus rose from the dead to save us. And kids, it's all a free gift. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. None of us do. You just need to trust Jesus to save you and then keep trusting. You see, as you get older, you might start thinking you're stronger, that you're more able to save yourself. You won't ever be able. Only Jesus can save you, and don't ever forget it. We're so happy you're here with us today. There's no better place to be than right here with Jesus' people. But finally, a word to our church this morning about children. I want to ask us again, what do we see when we look at the little ones? Do we have the heart of Jesus for little children? And I'm not saying this because I see problems or sense problems, not at all. But to stir the love for the little ones more and more. And I'm saying this to all of us, not just parents, because I would argue that a church's attitude toward children is probably most clearly seen in how those who are not their parents welcome and love them. I think you learn more about a church and children from the people who are not their parents. How we all welcome and love them. And as a parent of little ones myself, I'll say this, I love for my kids to be here with you. I want them here every week. And one of the things I long for most when we're here together is that my kids know that you love them, and that they get to see and hear of how God's working in your life, and that they get to see your joy in following Jesus. So may I just challenge us to welcome the little ones. Would you talk with them about what they learn in their Bible class, about the songs that they're singing, about how things are going in their school, however they're being schooled. But then let's just not care for the little ones here, but for those around us. You think about this. The children in the story today had, from what we can tell, no connection at all to Jesus or Jesus' disciples. These were like no-name families bringing no-name kids. They didn't know. Jesus didn't know them. They didn't know the parents. And what is Jesus doing with kids that he's like never even met before? He's welcoming them and he's loving them. And so just a couple examples. I mean, think of next Saturday. We get a chance as a church to help New Life Family Services. Ministry right here in Richfield helps Christian families adopt needy children. I mean, one of our own families is working with New Life trying to adopt children. But they also help, especially moms and dads in tough times, not to turn to abortion. but rather to preserve the lives of their little ones. Or come back tonight to our family meeting tonight. We'll talk some more tonight about potential opportunities we'll have next year to minister to children right here in the schools in Richfield. Because many, many children among us have nobody around us, have nobody who's bringing them to Jesus. Got kids on our blocks. Who's bringing those kids to Jesus? Pray for them. All throughout the schools here. There are many, many ways we could take this today. Overall, I'm simply challenging us to do everything we can to work together to bring our children to Jesus. We may have heard many times it takes a village to raise a child. It's probably more accurate to say it takes a church to raise a child. Because the parents among us need the church's love and teaching and prayers and help, accountability, encouragement. The parents among us need it. And the children among us need the same thing. So wherever we see the sparks of faith in Jesus already present in the children among us, let us fan the flames of faith in Jesus. And by God's grace, may we never, ever cause even one of these little ones to stumble and turn away from Jesus. But as I close, I want to draw our attention once more, not to what Jesus did to the children, but what Jesus taught us from the children. The only people who ever enter the kingdom are those who come to Jesus like a child, who come to Jesus in weakness, not trusting ourselves, our status, our supposed importance, who come with nothing, but who come in dependence on Jesus alone. We often want our kids to act like adults, especially when we're in public. But here Jesus tells all of us to become like children and to simply trust Jesus with all our hearts, to receive all Jesus has won as a gift. And when we come to Jesus that way, we will always find Jesus with open arms toward us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful, challenging, encouraging picture of Jesus in the Word. And thank you, Father, for blessing us already with so many little ones. Oh Lord, help us to do all we can to raise these children together, to bring them to Jesus. Oh, we know even those born into Christian homes need to be born again, born from above. And we can't do that. We can't cause that to happen. And so, Father, maybe it's today that some of these little ones here will really see Jesus for who he is. I pray that today or soon in the lives of all of our little ones that you would grant saving faith. Help them to lean completely on Jesus to save them. But Lord, we all need that reminder today and that challenge. And I don't know the condition of every person who's here today. Maybe some are here today rebuked by this message because we've been looking within to our own works, our own status, as if that would do something to save us. Oh, help us not to look within, but to look to Jesus, to turn from our sins and what other things we could trust in, and to just trust Jesus. Pray that you would do your work through your word in all of your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.